This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Dave Hill's podcasting incident on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. I once got some free Laffy Taffy in Denver. I don't even know what Laffy... Do you know what Laffy Taffy is, Chris?
It's like saltwater taffy.
It is. It comes in, but it's packaged for people on the go lifestyles,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where do you stand on taffy?
It's a little too, like, it sticks to my teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, rips your fillings out.
Yeah.
And such.
It's very, if you get, like, legit saltwater taffy, too.
You're in for a treat.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Where's, like, the big place to get saltwater taffy? I've been there.
Salt Lake City?
I don't think it's Salt Lake City.
Somewhere with salt water, I guess.
Yeah.
Do they use, the cops are coming. The saltwater cops are coming. I don't know. I remember, though, it was considered like a real delicacy growing up mm-hmm. in Cleveland.
Oh, Atlantic City, that's where.
The saltwater taffy would come and no one could believe it.
Yeah.
Everyone was super pumped. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for joining us once again for Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with Chris Kurzbeck. We're here in my living room. Chris is not in Queens.
Yeah.
We're doing it. We have a guest in I want to say in studio, but it's just in my living room. Let's be honest.
Call it a studio.
Vanessa Silberman, musician, songwriter, singer, producer, engineer, all sorts of things. We're going to be talking to her momentarily. What else do we want to cover before we just tear people a new one with yet another episode of this incredible podcast?
Well, this is going up Friday, so you have recorded your stand-up album.
It will have already happened. This is we're recording this on Wednesday. Tomorrow,
I'm excited.
Which will be yesterday, I'm recording my stand-up two shows. I'm actually very nervous.
Are you?
Yeah, I feel like once it's happening, it'll be fine. Everything
that's
will be
usually how it works
probably
out.
Fine.
My parents are coming. Does that make you
really
more nervous?
That's
or?
Comforting because I feel they strike me as being generous laughers.
They are,
or are they not?
No, they very much.
I just hope it goes well. You know, I hope
if the first show doesn't go well, you still got the second show.
That's what I figure, but I kind of want the first one to go so well
that the second show
that the second one
matter.
Just like fuck it, I don't care. No. But it should be fun, and I'm going to have a full band, which is exciting, but also I'm nervous about because...
It's a lot of moving parts.
It's a lot of moving parts. Like, normally if it's just me on stage, I'm like, well, I've been around me quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I know how this goes. But when you have the band, it's other humans.
Yeah.
And who knows what could happen. But, that's why we're doing two of them. It'll be all right. And they're both sold out. Or they both were. They, I will.
Oh, great.
But maybe by the time this is released, who knows? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can't unsell the tickets, I guess. But no, they're both sold out.
Yeah.
Which I'm really excited about because I hate having my name like on a thing and then it's like, here. Pay to see Dave or buy, even though my whole career basically is that.
Yeah.
I hate it so much. Like,
if it doesn't
idea.
Say sold out next to it.
Yeah, or if it's sold out, then I'm like, all these people have come to see me fail. Fail. Basically, I enjoy nothing in life other than naps.
See, I like when something doesn't sell out till like the day before because then you kind of get to stick it to people who didn't get tickets.
Yeah, but then I would rather just have it be sold out because then people get to go and see, like if you go to the Union Hall website, as I am right now, because I'm very, you go and you go like, oh, look, Dave Hill shows, two of them sold out. I guess he's the best. Mm-hmm. I guess he's the best at comedy. That's the only thing I can, it's the only thing I can figure by looking at that. No, but I'm thrilled. I guess is my point. Mm-hmm. Because I always think no one's gonna come. No one's gonna come see you, Dave. That's what the evil voice in my head that it accompanies.
Well, I'll be there.
You'll be there. No, it's sold out, Chris. Oh, both shows. You'll be there. Oh, you're okay. I have tickets set aside for you.
For both shows or just one of them?
Do you want to go to both?
Yeah.
You don't, but now you
feel
like
I totally
you had
do.
To say
I was,
that.
I was. Well, I'll talk about this after.
Okay. Well, we don't need this. Is bonus content for just me, I guess. Yeah. And then what else? Everyone, please. The Patreon. Please support us. Mm-hmm. We need. We're trying to get some Laffy Taffy in here, and we simply cannot afford it until we get some more Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, legit saltwater taffy is pricey.
Ugh. So, yeah, and listen to our other podcast, History Fluffer, of course, which is slowly becoming a juggernaut. It's becoming more and more popular with each week. And then, of course, So You're Canadian, we've released... What's today?
Wednesday.
No, okay, yeah. We released a new episode.
Yeah, on Tuesday.
Yesterday. I think I had a stroke just now. We've released three episodes. We've had Malcolm Gladwell, of course, whose new book, Talking to Strangers, just came out yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Probably benefited greatly from his appearance.
I'm sure it did.
On So You're Canadian. K. Trevor Wilson from Letterkenny, my favorite TV show.
Which I finally started watching.
Do you enjoy it?
I love it.
It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
And then yesterday we had Amy Milan from Stars and Broken Social Scene. But I'm going to see her next month when I'm in Montreal for, that's right, my book tour. Mm-hmm. Parking the Moose, on October 8th. Pre-order it now. Do you like how I'm getting all these plugs in effortlessly?
That's what you got to do.
Boom. Yeah, it's coming fast and hard. Out October 8th. Parking the Moose, pre-order it now or my feelings will be hurt. And October 3rd, if you're in New York City, McNally Jackson, there's going to be a blowout. Mike Sachs from Vanity Fair is going to talk. Are you going to come to that?
Oh, I'm going to be there.
He's going to talk to me. There's going to be snacks. My publisher said they're going to pay for salmon.
Amazing.
Other stuff too, but that's going to be among the offerings as I understand it. I'm not big on salmon, between you and me.
I'm not either.
I like it.
There were rumblings of a poutine fountain.
A poutine dunking tank. I asked about poutine. I thought, let's get some poutine in there. And they said that they thought that might be too gross of a thing to attempt. So they
said... A lot of cleanup.
That they didn't think it could happen. That it was just too... Too ambitious. Uh-huh. Plus, we're not really in curd country, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it is a bit tricky. But, yeah, there's going to be beverages. I'm working on that front. I want there to be, like, everyone...
What kind of beverages? Alcohol?
Well, I know there'll be beer and there'll be wine, red and white. And then nice. I'm hoping that there's Canadian beer. And I'm hoping... That everyone gets to leave with a bottle of Crown Royal. That's my hope. That people just drink themselves. But yeah, So You're Canadian is our podcast, taking the podcasting world by storm. No one can believe it. It's total...
I can't believe it.
It's just wild. What else do we get? Should we get into? Should we do any crime blotter? Or we haven't.
I think we have enough.
We have enough content.
Yeah.
Well, then you're gonna miss out on this story: bicycle thrown through glass door during fight. I guess we'll save that for next week. on the crime blog.
Now we have to do it.
Nope. And it's from my sister's town, too, where she lives, so. But we'll wait till next week. So there.
All right.
I hope you're happy. Just, sorry. I can't do it now. But, yeah, let's get into it. Our guest today, Vanessa Silverman, I first saw her playing here in New York, and she's amazing. She plays a white SG, which is pretty much as cool as it gets, and she rocks super hard. Let's give a taste right here. This is her song, Don't. We're back, Chris.
We are back. That was amazing.
Was Don't from Vanessa Silverman. And let's check out our conversation. She was here. We break the time-space continuum all the time on this show, but she was just here, and now we're talking in the future. Anyway, here is our delightful conversation with Vanessa Silverman. So we'll just get into it. We now welcome our guest on this incredible episode. This has been a long time in the making because of my bad planning, scheduling, and complicated life, and mm-hmm. Lucy's complicated life, and Chris's but anyway, today we are joined by Vanessa Silverman. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for... Well, you've been on my radio show before.
Yeah.
On WFMU, and now we're here in my living room. Mm-hmm. The four of us. Lucy's...
Which is rad, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Lucy's... She's calm.
Calmed out.
She's really calmed down. I can't tell if she's... She's definitely alive. We know that.
Occasionally, we do have to check and make sure she's still breathing.
You have to check. That's just, you know, safety precaution.
She's breathing. I see her stomach moving.
Yeah, it checks out. But thank you for joining us today. And there's so much ground to cover. First of all, you moved to New York recently.
Yeah.
As we were talking about out on my front steps. I always like when people move to New York, because I like New York,
mm-hmm.
especially when they move from...
lesser cities. I don't know where you moved from.
She moved from Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Which is a great city, let's be clear.
Yeah.
But I always think it's like a... usually people just leave and they go to L.A.
Totally.
It takes a special... You have to have a certain amount of moxie.
Mm-hmm.
Gumption. Whatever a third thing is. To go like, no, I'm going to move from L.A. to New York instead of the other way around.
And you just moved in July, right?
Yeah, it's fairly recent. And I'd been in L.A. since 2001. So, like, for a long time since
Whoa.
I was a teenager. And
how did you wind up there? Did you go on a Greyhound bus?
No. I moved from the Bay Area, actually. I went down to L.A. to do music. And at the time, I went to music school, like, super briefly. And,
where?
The Musicians Institute.
No! That's amazing. What in for guitar?
I was in guitar, but only for about 4 months. I dropped out of that program because I kind of had the intention of, okay, I'm going to go to LA and, like, you know, meet a ton of musicians and start developing my... I had a band that I had kind of started at the time. And then when I was in a class, it was about me and, like, you know, 100 other guys in all my classes. I think there was, like, maybe 4 other girls in the guitar program. I just kind of was like, you know what? I really want to learn about songwriting and recording. And they had a, like, artist development program that they just started.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for 6 months. And then I did their first ever music business program.
Wait, so, but to my mind, do you know what MIT is?
Mm-hmm.
Not the one in Massachusetts.
Oh, that's the one I'm aware of.
No.
What's the other MIT?
Not electrical engineering.
Musicians Institute of Technology. And then, so there was, and then Guitar Institute, which is a subdivision, or no?
It's like,
all the same thing. They
basically offer different programs.
You could go for bass.
Yeah, you could go for bass. You could go for singing.
Could you go for drums?
You could go for drums. You could go for...
Keyboards?
Yeah, I think keyboards.
Guitar.
That's a sub-genre.
Yeah. But I don't know if it was this way when you went, but, like, years ago, I remember my impression of it was that it was just people shredding everywhere.
Totally.
Like Paul Gilbert talked.
Style, yes.
The greatest shredder of all time, arguably. Do you know who Paul Gilbert is?
I don't know.
Do you know?
He is...
He was in a band called Racer X, but then he was in a bigger band. Mr. Big.
Yeah.
That was like his...
Oh, Mr. Big, yeah.
But then as these things go, they had that song, I'm the one
yes.
who wants to...
It's like a top 40 hit.
Be with
yeah.
you.
And then... But then he... So he didn't shred on that song, but then there was tons of shredding to be had in general. And now... anyway... I'm just well-versed in his old thing. I like watching his videos.
I mean, all the at least the kids or people who went there at the time when I went there, everyone was like, literally, I'd turn next to me in a guitar theory class, and there'd be like, hey, dude, check out this solo. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, it's a weird... I almost think, like, shredding is another... Because you're right, it has something, it's different from, it's kind of the opposite of songwriting.
Yeah.
It's like...
it's improv, kind of, right?
No, well, it can be, but yeah. Like, it's sort of like focusing on that, I don't know. I mean, I think it's good to be able, and fun to be able to do that stuff.
Totally.
But the practical applications of it, like you rarely hear with the... exception, I think, of Van Halen, pretty much. You rarely hear, like, a great song that has like ripping guitar, like just shredding.
I feel like in a, you know, and this is just my opinion, but like in a mass, like marketable commercial sense, like at the time when I was there, I got an internship working at Steve Vai's record label. So, which that was like in line.
Wait, what's his record label called?
Favored Nations.
Yes, that's right.
And like, so he had like the guy from Toto and like all these niche, like uber niche.
Did he have shredders. Greg Koch yet?
That sounds really familiar.
There's this guy from, I think most like awesome guitar player, what pushes them over the top for me is if they're funny in their instructional videos, if they're like charming and engaging. And this guy, Greg Koch, if I'm saying it right, or Cook, I'm not sure. And Paul Gilbert, like, they play amazingly well, but then, like, they're just very enjoyable to listen, sit there, talking. And, anyway, but I think he's on that list. So, wait. So, you would go to, like, Steve Vai's office?
Yeah, and, like, I got, like, a few internships while I was there, but I thought it was, like, you know, very in line. Like, if there was someone, you know, just on the line of the whole shredding thing, if someone has done it right, I would say Steve Vai has done it right, but it is in fact a very niche audience. And I think when I was like looking in the perspective of like the big picture, I was like, you know what, aside from learning how to like shred, I need to like really like focus on songwriting. And you know, like you can get a degree in guitar, but like, you know, if you're going to be an instructor or you know, like teach classes or university, that would apply to you, but it does not apply to, I would say, like the real like music entertainment industry. Or I mean, that's just my thought or opinion on it.
Yeah, well, it's like, I'm trying to think of an analogy that just really nails it. It would be like learning shredding only would be like learning all about sexual technique, but not learning how to have a conversation with another human being.
To connect in the first place, to make that all come to fruition.
Yeah, I think that might be it. I don't know if that's right.
But no, totally.
Like, it's cool. But I don't, I feel like if you're just like, you doesn't mean you, you know, the Beatles did all right without doing any of that.
Shredding,
as an example. Wait, so, and I won't harp on this, but, so did Steve Vai come to the office then? Was there an office to go to?
Yeah, there was an office.
And would he just be there shredding?
No, I mean, I didn't interact with him too much, but he did come to the office a couple times, and I, myself and the other guys who were working there at the time, one time we went to NAMM, which was my first experience at NAMM.
Not the military struggle in Asia, for the listener, the conflict. National North American Music Merchants? I have no idea.
Something like that, yeah.
But
I don't actually know.
As I've never been, and I'm told it's awesome / the worst imaginable thing that could ever happen.
Depends on who you ask and when you ask them. Or like, especially if you ask like someone who, let's say, works at a guitar company or a pedal company at the time right after they've finished the conference, because it's super intense. I mean, I like it because you can try out a lot of gear or meet with them. Let's say people who you've worked with over the years and haven't been able to get face to face with, like different companies or sponsors. But also, it's very intense. Like, most of the guys are just by the end are like, you know, drinking, because it's like talking all the time, and like everybody's handing everybody business cards, and it's like, but it's super fun, and you can see a lot of amazing people perform. But my first experience going there was with the other people from Favorite Nations and Steve Vai, and there was this one like crazy moment where Steve Vai was at one end of the room. This is like they're large rooms with different sections of, you know, gear and instruments, and Then we had Buckethead on the other end.
That would have been one of my guesses of, like, just, like, if you were just going to have a face-off of Shredder, like...
Oh, my God. It was amazing. They literally walked and met in the middle, and the fans were following them from each side, and I was just, you know, I mean, I was still a teenager and just totally dumbfounded by the whole thing.
He had the bucket head on. He had the mask.
Oh, yeah. He was dressed up. I think they had
like a wireless guitar set up then. Like,
no, but they weren't playing, though. They were just walking. But it was like two gunslingers.
Yeah, totally.
Meeting in the center of town.
Super Shredders.
In the Old West.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was just talking about Buckethead, as I often do, like yesterday, I think, maybe. But yeah, he's on my list of Shredders as well. I like that he's a weird. Well, Steve Vai seems like a weirdo also.
He was super cool, like very nice.
I'm told he's very nice.
Yeah. Also, I feel like he had like a pretty good business sense. You know, to kind of. I mean, he really, he's smart because he was able to find a niche in the business where, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, you know, there was a other guitarist, Joe Satriani.
Yeah.
And like, but he was like able to kind of carve out this niche for himself and like some of these other guitar players. And, you know, that's cool. That's hard. That's like super niche. So he's like super in tune with his audience.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Sometimes I think I just went down the wrong path. I could have been a shredder. Just be a shredder. And then practice hard enough. It's never too... I'm planning on becoming like a late-in-life shredder. Like, when I'm like 70, then I'll just fully... I feel like I can shred like a reasonable amount now. Mm-hmm. But not like... soaring like the gods.
The god of Shredder.
Just, you know, on that level. Anyway, I digress. But so you got away from all that, from the shred.
Yeah.
World.
Yeah, I
But you survived intact.
How old
Not
were you
everyone...
when you were in that?
Oh, like 19.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Cool. So then do you have like certain shred guitar licks locked and loaded, like that come out of you like Tourette's syndrome? Or do you, not really?
I feel like when I shred, I just don't, I kind of don't think about it. I'm just like, how much noise can I make?
I've seen you play live. You play from the heart and soul. That's what I like.
Thank you.
Is like you, well, I like, yeah, I think, yeah, you have to have, you can't just have the technique. It would be like, I'm going to use another analogy. It would be like if you were really great at drawing, but you could only draw stuff that sucks. I don't know. Like, you have to have the whole composite. You have to have the whole package. I don't know. I don't know what my point is. But no, you play an SG, which is also extra bonus points. Have we lost all the listeners by
no.
my gear talk?
I don't know anything about gear, and I'm not.
You're not.
I'm not bored yet. So.
But I have historically alienated listeners for many reasons, but among them is
your talk.
Because I can easily go just down a full gear wormhole and just talk about that. And
okay, wait, last pedal thing. Do you guys know a company called Death by Audio?
Yes.
Yeah, they're here.
Yeah, I love their pedals, specifically, I think it's called the Warzone.
All sorts of like weird niche. Sort of
oh my God, they're great. Yeah. One NAMM, I played at their booth and was playing pedals, and it was fucking
nice.
Awesome. Excuse me.
No, you can swear.
Okay, good.
swear it up.
But when we were at NAMM and I was playing, I was like, okay, what can we do? You know, I was talking. To the guys there, what can we do to like, you know, just cause a total ruckus because it's so loud there. And like I just started playing the pedals and walking down the aisles and just making a just ruckus. And that company is awesome. And if there are any guitar players listening, you should definitely check them out really great company out of Brooklyn.
Yeah, they're cool. Now, I do stuff with Earthquaker devices, so I feel I'm compelled now to say, while you're at it, you should look at Earthquaker devices. Otherwise, I'll get, they'll come by and
they'll break all your gear.
They'll break my gear. Don't say that. Both wonderful pedal concerns. Wait, so now you're here. See, this is the problem with this podcast, Chris. Mm-hmm. Is I just, it's constant derailment on my part.
I think that's what people like about it.
A point comes up and I derail it with something that has almost nothing to do with it. That's why we're number one in our time slot. But you, the way I found out about you, Vanessa Silverman, is because my buddy Reed Mullen and your buddy Reed Mullen from Corrosion of Conformity was playing drums with you.
Yeah.
And then you're also with Mikey Ross. Now, how did that come together?
So I actually met Reed. I used to, back in L.A., I was for a little bit the in-house assistant engineer at Studio 606. And
which is Dave Grohl's studio.
Yeah. And Reed came in to make a record. And
Which group did he do a record with?
So he
did well, there's COC obviously, but then there was the sort of super
yeah, Teenage Time Killers.
Yeah.
Which is John Lusto, which goes under Lou, he is the in-house producer engineer there, and so him and Reed were working on a record together, and a few of their other friends, Mick, and then they had a few other artists come in and work on the record, and it was kind of like a really rad, like, metal, hardcore, punk, like, supergroup record. And when I was an assistant there, I met Reed and, like, got to help on that record. And,
oh, nice.
You know, we stayed in touch a little bit, and then Michael, he came down to LA when they were doing some publicity for the record, and we all the engineers and artists and people met who worked on the record, and we kind of connected and stayed in touch. And I spent a few years just really, really touring, and Michael came out to one of my shows in San Francisco, and you know, we were talking, and then Reed came out to one of the shows, and, you know, he was like, hey, like, we should, like, do a tour and back you. Because I had been just, like, playing and having just various friends tour with me or back me. Sometimes I would just meet people and just have people kind of come up last minute and just rock out on a couple songs.
So would you play just yourself and a guitar?
Yeah, I did like a lot of solo electric touring. And you know, it was like kind of like a way of figuring out how can I you know, make this profitable and make a living touring. And I think when, you know, first kind of starting out, even though I've been in the music business and had a band before, I was kind of starting as new artist, and so, and it's just really easy to tour that way, and I played a lot. And so anyway, Reed and Michael approached me about like backing me after seeing me play, and so we did a couple tours together and recorded, and yeah, we've had some adventures.
Yeah, I saw you guys play at, would it be 10th Street Bar? Somewhere in the East Village.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And it was awesome. And then the crazy thing is, well, this is probably, I don't know if this will make any sense to the listener, but then, because those guys had a band called Brown years and years ago, and then, and Michael reminded me of that, and then, without even realizing it, then, I was playing in San Francisco with Painted Doll, and I walk in and there's Michael, and he's running the place.
Yeah,
The
Hemlock Tavern. Yeah,
which it was just his closed. Club. Yeah. And now, what is it? Probably a bank or a CVS now.
Man, I don't know. I'm not sure if they're, you know, closing it and then reopening or what exactly.
Oh, so they might, it might live on.
But I don't know. Like, Michael sold it, and so I'm not sure, you know, who's taken over, who's the owner, or what. But it's a bummer because, like, that, yeah. that club was a huge part of, like, a lot of San Francisco's, like, music community for a long time.
Yeah. But then I, you know, and I'm just, it's for... further to my point of derailment, I always think about it because people are always like, oh, San Francisco, that's even more, maybe, well, that and New York, I feel like, are the two cities where you just hear people constantly go like, oh man,
oh bummer,
like every chain, it's not what it used to be and blah blah blah. And then I think like, well, that's true, but it seems like, you know, it just kind of happens over and over.
Yeah, things going
and
waves.
Over. And yeah. everywhere in the world now, I feel like every major city you go to, Paris, London, wherever, people would, it's the same level of bitching is going on where people are like, oh, fuck, man, it's not cool like it used to be. But I also, like, on the other hand, that's why I live where I live now. Is I realize, like, how stuff changed. Because I was living in Clinton Hill, and that was the first time I realized. It was, like, in 2005, I think, I was living there. And it wasn't...
Oh, wow.
I didn't have, like, the amenities that I'm sure it has now. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time in my life I realized, like... Because all of a sudden I went from living, like... I lived in Cobble Hill, which is, like, strollers and coffee shops and stuff. And restaurants, and then, but Clinton Hill didn't really have all that going yet, and that was the first time I realized, like, oh, I like stuff. Like, I used to think, like, when I was younger, oh yeah, make it as like, make it as bad as possible, because that'll be cool. Like, if there's nothing, and that'll be cool if I live like that. And then I realized, I was like, oh wait, I like a nice coffee shop and I want to get some Thai food later. And then and I was the first time I realized that about myself. So I realized then, that's why I moved to the West Village, because I was like, you can't, I'm fighting gentrification by moving into the most self cannibalizing gentrified area in the world. One of them.
I feel like it's over though, because it's already been that way, so now it's almost being back to being like really cool.
Yeah.
And yeah. in a way, or you know, maybe, you know, everybody sees it as everyone's living in or moving to Brooklyn, or I don't know, but it's everything recycles after time.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Upper East Side now. You can live up there for cheaper than you can a lot of places.
Upper East Side's like a hot spot right now.
But that it used to be like fancy land.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's like, I can't afford to live in Brooklyn, so I'm going to live...
in Manhattan. Yeah.
In Manhattan. There you go. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know what my point is.
That's why I stay in Queens, because... it's like affordable Queens. And still considered not quite hip. So, like, but there's no music venues out there or anything.
Why? There is, though. I've been to one, but it's a big place. What is it called? We'll be here all day.
Well, I can't remember. There's the Forest Hills Tennis Stadium.
That's not the one. Yeah, it's smaller. I can't remember what it's called. I went to some to see something.
I feel like I've heard about a couple bars and dive clubs and stuff.
It's definitely changed, but like Astoria is very hip and there's like a lot of fun things to do out there, but there's no like, you know, Bowery Ballroom out there where like touring bands come through and that's where they have to play, in Queens at least.
We need to make it.
Yeah.
So they have to come and play in Queens. You have to come.
Yeah.
Well, I like that, like when there's, I don't know, when bands can play like Manhattan, then they play Brooklyn, like it's another city.
Yeah.
You have to be popular to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a part of anything that was that popular. Someday, when I do my geriatric shredding, tour that I'm planning.
Yes, you'll play in Queens, Brooklyn, and Manhattan.
Yeah. Well, didn't David Bowie did like a five borough thing, but he had, you know, he had a lot of fame
and he's, yeah, he's
and popularity to sort of guarantee that I would struggle with that.
I mean, Billy Joel plays MSG every month.
He really does.
That's not easy, I imagine.
It's easy when you're Billy Joel. Have either of you gone to see Billy Joel?
No.
No.
Would you guys, if I could get three of us tickets to Billy Joel?
Yeah, it's
I would never turn that down.
I bet he just, like, plays T-ball with the hits all night long. Piano Man, Scene from an Italian Restaurant. Right?
So many hits.
And people just are losing their minds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mainly people from Long Island, I suspect.
Yeah, can you imagine riding the Long Island Railroad home after that concert? I think that's the new...
Plus, you can drink on the Long Island Railroad, so it's a lot of drunken Billy Joel fans.
Can you? And New Jersey Transit, too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably the new, like, reverse heavy metal parking lot. Do you know that movie? Where they went to, like, Judas Priest concert in the 80s in Maryland, I think.
Oh, wow. It's
and like, it's just them interviewing people in the parking
lot. Like in the tailgates and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh.
To do the Billy Joel concert on the way home on Long Island Railroad. Just people psyched.
I bet a lot of sing-alongs break out.
Oh, yeah. This is one of my favorite things is when you see a concert let out of, like, an artist that just inspires that. Like, I remember in high school, Dio played. And like an idiot, I did not go. Mm-hmm. But he was playing. And we kind of went. He's playing outdoors in Cleveland. And we went to kind of like sneak and hear a little Dio. And then the concert let out, and I was just like, people were so fired up. And I was like, yeah, of course they are.
It's awesome.
We should have gone to see Dio. What shows do you have coming up?
I have a show a week from today that's Friday, September 20th. It's my EP release.
Whoa, this is breaking.
And this is the EP release for my EP called Brighter in Bloom, and it features Reed on drums, Michael on bass, and then a couple other friends are on the record as well. And it is a super fun record. And then Lou, my old kind of mentor at 606, he mixed it with his also assistant Oliver. And
so when you do that, do you just send it to them and say, have at it, I trust you?
Yeah kind of. I feel like you know, Lou is pretty familiar with my music since we also recorded together before, and and he knows, and you know, has worked with Reed and the whole vibe and everything.
So you know, you don't know. So you're not one of those people that goes in the mixing and is like, can you make the turn up the mic on the bottom of the snare half a dB?
Well,
I want to hear that.
I feel like it got, I think my hands were so involved in the project and being so close to it that it was appropriate to really like give it to someone else to like kind of take to the next place. Since I'm, you know, an engineer and producer, it's like sometimes working on your own stuff, it's just really good to have like another person's or people's perspective on it.
Yeah.
I'm also I am really specific about stuff I like or dislike or sound, but mixing is can be so subjective. Yeah, it's a fun record and or a fun EP, and the EP release show is at Modern Vice, which is a great boot company from
New
York.
Wait a minute. This keeps coming back over and over. Yeah, they make custom shoes.
Yeah.
But I was someone. My friend Sarah has shoes from there. And then I was someone like a week ago, and I looked at their shoes, and I was like, those are from the custom place in Chelsea, right? They're like Modern Vice. I'm like, yeah. They make awesome stuff.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And I didn't know they did shows, too.
Well, this is... I know they had done some So Far Sound shows before, and Jordan, the owner, has put on some events. But yeah, I am a huge fan of their boots, and like met Jordan, and he asked if I wanted to do a show, and so they've been super cool and helps me put together this show. And then I've got some friends who are playing, Christine Young, who's an amazing artist, and then
didn't she open for Morrissey?
Yeah, she's great. She's actually another artist who I met when I was at 606. And then there is a band who I'm good friends with called Shark Muffin, and I really love their music. Mm-hmm. They're great. And then another artist, her name's, she's going under Cloud Cover for this, and she's got a band, her name's Jenny. She's got a band called Dirty Dishes. And so it's a free show, and it starts at 9:30, and it'll be a lot of fun. More intimate, kind of not full band sets, but more kind of stripped down. So it'll be a little different.
Oh, stripped down. Oh, I see. Like you won't have like bass.
Yeah, drum, full band. Yeah.
Because it'll be like in a showroom type.
Yeah, it's gonna be in their factory, so it's gonna be a little bit smaller.
Do they make men's shoes? I know this not on the subject of what we're talking about.
No, but more importantly, they do. I just saw they came out with some new men's shoes, and you should definitely check them out. And you should come. It's free. They are a really great company, and they make like beautiful quality shoes.
They do. I've only seen their women's shoes, but they're all like, I see them and I'm like, I want the male version of that. Because I can't really make a heel work for me, really.
So you can just kind of like I can't design a shoe that's like just for you?
They have specific shoes, and then they also like, you could order like custom, let's say like if you like a certain design with like particular buckle colors or certain color fabric.
You should get some Podcasting Incident shoes made.
That's what the world needs. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. It says, now I'm pulling it. Designer boots, sandals, and shoes for women by Modern Vice.
So I've seen some recent stuff where they did post some new stuff for men.
They're really cool. Are you looking at these?
Yeah,
they're really cool.
They look awesome.
They're pricey, but I bet they're worth it. I mean, quality footwear is always worth it, I think. Any sort of wisdom I can impart, spend the extra money. You'll be glad you did.
Totally. Quality over quantity.
Totally.
But I feel like, if anything, New York is like, I don't know, good at embracing fashion and quality and all of that, if any city.
Exactly. One more reason to live here in this magical town. Then where are you playing? So when does the EP, is that the date?
That's the date it comes out.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And it's available right now for pre-sale on CD and vinyl, 7-inch through my label, Diamond Heart Production, and Resurrection Records, which is a rad label out of Spokane, Washington.
Nice. And you, I'm jumping around as usual. But I'd seen you live. That was the first time. But then you had made this amazing video with a drone.
Oh yeah, Mikey made a video. Was that for Okay.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, he did a great job on that.
And it looked like it cost $40 million. It's the drone.
It was awesome. Yeah, he did that, and We recorded that song on a day off in tour in, I think it was Maryland. Yeah.
How did you, where do you get it? I need to get a drone. Do you have a drone, Chris?
No. Amazon.com.
That's what I was going to say. Just check on
I was given a drone. It's in my house.
Oh, man, that's
I have
awesome.
A drone, but I've never...
I mean, you just got to stick a little
taking it
GoPro
out of the box.
Camera on it.
Really?
Yeah.
But I just assumed if someone's giving me a drone, it can't be a good drone if they're just giving me a drone. It was like a gift bag.
Oh, that's cool.
Everyone got a drone. And I thought, this can't be a quality drone.
Huh.
But the drone you that you used looked quality. I guess it's the camera, really, that does the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think... I mean, it was just shot with a drone and an iPhone, literally.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you can just clip a phone
onto it. Yeah, just clip. I mean, yeah. Which is crazy, but yeah.
But then how do you know what the drone is filming if your phone is
There's
flying around?
There's probably an app where you can, like,
There's
see it.
Something.
On another phone?
Yeah, or maybe it's hooked up. I actually don't know how they work.
See, I would be afraid to just set my phone free to fly around.
You know what? There's got to be
some calls.
There's something that's probably hooked up to the drone where it's an app on your phone, and I think you control it with your phone or something.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the yeah.
Oh man, I got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
What else do we do? Do we have anything else you want to let people know about?
I have another show October 28th at Rockwood Music Hall.
Oh, nice.
With Aaron Combs of Spin Doctors.
Oh, yeah. He's the drummer.
Yeah, so I guess he has a solo project, so he's playing that night. And then my friend Ryan Carnes, who has been playing drums with me, he's going to play... for that show, so that'll be more of like a full band type show. And then I have some other stuff in the works. I've got a show in Red Hook, New Jersey.
You mean Red Bank?
Thank you, Red Bank.
Yeah.
Still learning the towns.
Yeah, I know Red Bank.
Red Bank's home of Kevin Smith, right?
Is it?
I think so.
It's home of Monster Magnet, too.
Oh, yeah.
And other stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Where are you playing there?
I'm playing the Downtown.
Nice.
And that's going to be a solo show. And yeah, if people are interested, they can check out my artist development label. It's called the Diamond Heart Production. And I record bands.
And you have a link here on your website.
Yeah.
Not that I'm referring directly to your website as we're talking, but I do have an habit here. And it checks out. There is a link on her website for Diamond Heart Production. And it goes to a whole other website. So you have a full studio, or you're like a roving engineer, producer?
I go to a lot of different studios to record for various like projects. And then I have like a pretty simple mobile rig that I use for mixing. Or I've been recording... a record for an artist in different churches.
Oh, wow.
Like around California and the East Coast. And so we were using
them.
Does
each song have a different church? Like,
yeah.
Like, this is, you know, whatever song at St. Mary's. they just, the 11:30 Mass had just let out. And we got in there and cranked this one out.
Yeah, there was a couple churches that we've done maybe two songs at, but yeah, they're all different ones, which has been fun, experimental.
That's cool. I just watched some video today on Instagram. This band posted a video of them in some church in like somewhere in Europe singing this song. And at first, I misread it. I thought they said it was a Beatles song. Mm-hmm. And I was like, guys, get out of there. You can't just start singing the Beatles in some church. And I think it was Switzerland or something. But then I read it again. They're like, no, it's this hymn. And then I was like, well, they could probably get away with that. No one's going to yell at you for singing a hymn in the middle of church. As long as they don't see the Instagrammer.
Totally.
But it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like the churches in Europe, I mean, Historically, I'm trying to think there's a few recording studios in churches, like actually built properly. The acoustics in there, amazing.
Yeah. All those vaulted ceilings, or you know what I'm talking about, whatever the like, Chris, mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm looking at you for architectural lingo. Well, we should probably wrap up this portion and then set you free into the wild, and then we'll do the intro, and then we'll have a podcast on our hands. We've done it, right?
We've done it.
We've really done it.
We've really done it this time.
Thank you for coming over.
Thank you for having me.
To my home. Glad we finally made it happen.
Hell yeah.
And hopefully we'll talk you into doing it again. And so should we go out on the song Okay?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We did it.
We're okay.
We're okay. Silverman, September 20th at Modern Vice. Get her new EP. Go to VanessaSilvermanOfficial.com to find out when she's coming to your town. So there. What else before we ride off into the podcasting sunset, Chris?
Next Friday, the mighty Frank Conniff returns to Movies Are Dumb.
Yes. How's he doing? He's doing well enough.
I'm going to see him tonight, actually.
Are you?
Yeah. And we're showing The Punisher, which is a 1989 film starring Dolph Lundgren.
Stay street. Stay hydrated. And get tested, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.